See, Matthew's gospel is divided into seven sections, and today's gospel reading comes from that fifth section. It starts in chapter 13:54. I think it was the reading from two Sundays ago, where we're told that Jesus goes into the synagogue and starts to teach, and no one believes in him. And as a result of this, we're told that he did not do any works there because of their lack of faith. So this section starts out with the people who should be accepting Jesus rejecting them. So we're told that he then is going to go north and east a little bit, and he'll come to the Sea of Galilee. And I think one of the weekly readings, he's at the Sea of Galilee in Gennesaret, which is on the northwest shore of it. Same thing happens there. So finally, he's going to go north and west again, and we're told today that he ends up in the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, Tyre and Sidon have very long histories. Lots of people lived there over the millennia. But what we need to know for today's gospel and preaching is that Tyre and Sidon were Gentile lands, and when their names come up in Scripture, it's usually as a subject of reproach. So in today's gospel, Jesus is not in a nice neighborhood, all right? As for the woman who calls out to Jesus, we're told that she is a Canaanite woman. Now, the Canaanites are descendants of Noah's grandson, Canaan. Noah's son, Ham, sins greatly against his father, Noah. And when Noah realizes this, we're told that he says, Noah says, quote, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brothers." So this woman coming to Jesus is a cursed person in a cursed land. So that's the bad news, right? So what's the good news? The good news is this exchange that happens between Jesus and this Canaanite woman. When she calls out to him, she says, "Son of David." She gives him this title, which is interesting because it's a Jewish title. The Son of David title is used 10 times in Matthew's gospel. The first time it's used is in the very first verse of Matthew's gospel. There it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David and son of Abraham. Now, we all know that Jesus has no earthly father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And we know that Joseph was really his foster father. So, what are the scriptures trying to tell us with these two titles? Son of Abraham, son of David. Let's take them in chronological order. Son of Abraham, we go back to Genesis 22:18. And there God says to Abraham, "I'm going to give blessings to you and to your descendants. And it's your descendants that will bring blessings to the world." If we skip a bunch of books, we come to 2 Samuel 7. And there David is saying to King David, who is a descendant from Abraham, he says to David, "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." So for this reason, the Jewish people said the Messiah was going to come through the Davidic line. It goes from Abraham, it comes through David, his kingdom will rule forever. So the Son of David title is a messianic title, that the Messiah is going to come, which is very interesting because it's coming in this instance from the mouth of a Canaanite woman. This phrase, Son of David, appears five times when Jesus performs miracles in Matthew's gospel. Four of the miracles deal with someone receiving sight because they were blind. Now, of course, there's physical healing, but we have to understand the context as well. When someone was crippled or blind or had some other illness or malady, in this time period, people thought it was a result of sin. Remember, they come to the parents and said, "Whose sin is it that this man is blind? His sin or his parents' sin?" Right? Well, so in restoring sight to the blind, what is Jesus doing? He's removing sin. Only God can remove sin. So if Jesus is saying, "I'm removing sin," therefore Jesus is doing a divine action that makes him divine. There's also a spiritual understanding, right? Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees, he calls them blind a number of times. Well, they're spiritually blind. They can't see what God wants to do for them. So, in curing the blind people, Jesus is saying, I'm here to show you the way in a godly sense, and I'm here to take away sins. Three other times when Son of David is used, it's when he's dealing with people who are possessed. And even in today's, you know, the Canaanite's daughter is struggling with a demon, and she says, Son of David, help me, help free my daughter from the power of the evil one. And three times Jesus comes in and breaks that possession, and frees this person from the spiritual bondage. So once again, Jesus is showing he has power. He has authority over evil. Well, that's where it's God's power and authority is. So he's making this claim of divine authority. The final two times this title comes, Son of David, is when Jesus enters into Jerusalem and then the cleansing of the temple. So when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, we're told that he's riding a donkey, right? We're told it's a colt, the foal of a colt, right? A donkey. Now, a donkey is a symbol of peace as opposed to a horse. A horse is a symbol of war. So God says to David, he says, do not multiply horses, meaning don't get an army. If you have lots of horses, guess what you're going to use them for? To go to war. So when Christ comes into Jerusalem, he's coming in peace. We're also told from Palm Sunday, right? The liturgy, they're putting palms in front of them. When somebody enters a city and you put palms in front of them, you're saying that a great conqueror has come into town. They've been victorious in battle, and they're coming back after conquering whoever it is they conquered. They're coming back home again. So Christ is a great conqueror. But what is he conquering? Hosanna precedes Son of David when he comes into Jerusalem. Hosanna means grant salvation. So here we have the Prince of Peace coming into Jerusalem, the center of the universe for the Jewish people. For what purpose? To bring about salvation. Son of David. The final usage happens in the temple. We see that the people are all excited. They're seeing these wonderful miracles that he's doing. And the people of God are chanting out, Hosanna to the Son of David. But we're told that the high priests and the scribes don't like this. So they challenge Jesus because they know exactly what the people are saying. They say, do you hear what they are saying? And Jesus says, yes. And have you never read the text? Out of the mouths of infants and nurslings, you have brought forth praise. So Jesus is saying, yeah, they're using a messianic title. They're using it correctly because the Messiah has come. He's come into the temple. He's cleaning out all the garbage that was going on so that true worship can take place in the temple. So absolutely. And the miracles that I'm performing show to you that what I'm saying is true. All the way back in the beginning, the people in his hometown didn't believe, so there was no miracles to show them what was going on. Here we see when the people believe, even a Canaanite woman is given a miracle for her faith. So what's fascinating is when we read the scriptures, who accepts Jesus and who rejects Jesus, right? So we see the chief priests and the scribes. These are the right-hand men of God. They're the ones who are immersed in the scriptures. They knew the prophecies. They should know what to look for. Yet, they're blind. They can't see what's going on. So they reject Jesus. What's beautiful in today's gospel, it's a Canaanite woman. A woman who's supposed to be a cursed woman. In a cursed land is the one who looks up and says, ah, I see who this person is. This is Son of David. This is the Messiah. This is the one who is to come. So let us take this opportunity sometime this week to proclaim that. Proclaim that good news to the world, that the Messiah has come. And all you have to do is have faith. Just have faith that Jesus Christ is the person that he says, and his salvation is made open to you.